is just, I guess so you have an understanding of kind of where it came from, where Brother Keith said something and it spawned off of that to make this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to read beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 8. And then we'll just expound on a couple verses, not the whole thing. But for context's sake, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2, 1. It says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even that after we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanliness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you actually have you have Paul being a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's talking about how he's preaching the gospel, but not only just the gospel, themselves are just giving themselves ultimately to the people at Thessalonica. And you see they had troubles and tribulations. I mean, that's the, honest to God, that's the real mark of a Christian in life, is troubles and tribulation. Amen. It's not necessarily a prosperity thing. The Lord may prosper you, praise the Lord for money and things, but when people have hard times, it's not necessarily chastisement, it's the trying of faith normally. Here in verse 7, though, this is where I want to kind of go, but I want to clarify what I'm fixing to say as being somebody who ministers. Even in the Bible, everybody in here is likened to be a preacher, amen? The preacher of the gospel's sake, men and women. Nonetheless, you don't have to stand behind a pulpit to preach. And I've made that comment. You can talk to someone and someone will say, "Stop preaching to me." And you're just talking. I'm sure if you talk to people long enough and your speech is just salted with the grace of God and the gospel there, people are going to just take offense to it because that sword is just sticking them. Amen? And people don't like that. But here in verse 7, that's where we want to go. And it says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." I'm going to look at you and a Christian being a nurse this morning. I know some of you in here have actually been literal physical nurses, and so what I'm going to say, you just, after the service, if it's not right, you tell me afterwards, amen. But hopefully I've got it fairly. I've spent some time studying it. But here in verse 7, we'll actually look at kind of the qualifications, or what, in 7 and 8, we'll look at what a nurse and what they actually do. In verse 7 it says, "But we were gentle among you." So first of all, a nurse is going to be gentle. I would argue to say that ought to be some that are drilled in some people at the hospital, amen? Because some of them suckers ain't gentle, just saying, amen? And I can see where a person can get cold and calloused because that's something that it's repetition they do every day. Does that mean, I mean, just being honest, just dealing with people, and you don't ever see... It's hardly often you see the good of people when they come to a hospital. Amen. It's always somebody's in pain, they're in agony, and they're not acting the way they normally would. So sometimes it's difficult to be gentle. And you just stay with me for just a minute, okay? Likening a nurse to a Christian. So one, they ought to be gentle. Here in a verse, in verse 7, it says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Oh, cherisheth means to treat with tenderness. Being very tender towards someone in your actions and your words. I can say that most nurses, except for some lady that I just nicknamed Helda, I think she played for the Green Bay Packers when I was in Montgomery after the surgery one time, she wasn't real gentle. But most people try to be tender-hearted and tender to their pains and your sufferings and things you're going through. And I think most of them have a realization that it's not supposed to be bed of roses when you're in a hospital. Amen? I ain't going to say that yet. Look in verse 8. So you have gentle and you have cherish. So the characteristics of a nurse. In verse 8 it says, "So being affectionately desirous of you." very affectionate. It says having great love toward a person. It says, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls. Why? Because you were dear unto us. It's a great value. Before we get into this real quick, you ought to just self-examine yourself. How are you doing as being a nurse to people? I'm talking about being a minister of God. How gentle are you? How cherishing are you toward people? How affectionate? And really, how much do you love people and how dear are they to you? That's a good question, amen. I could stop right now and get on the altar and pray and just be honest with you. But just thinking about that, how you deal with people. How do you deal with people? I'm gonna just give you some things. You just hold your place here in the Bible. I'm not going to ask you to turn anywhere, but I'm going to give you 9 duties of a literal nurse in a hospital setting. And each 9 of them, I'm going to make a practical application to you and I. Amen? I mean, that's what we're here for, to learn, right? The first one, the duties of a nurse is provides hands-on care to patients by administering medications. If I read that correctly, that's the number one lawsuit, malpractice lawsuit, is the misadministering of medications in the medical field. I think that's right. If I'm not right, you can tell me later. And you think about that. When somebody says something, when you're talking to somebody, when you're ministering to somebody, you ought to be real careful not to have your opinions put in there, because that's the wrong medicine. The Bible is the right medicine, amen? You ought to try to see and speak, and you ought to have the oracles of God proceeding out of your mouth and not your own opinions, because you have to be careful, because emotions will get stirred up and your own opinions come out, amen? And you'll see here in a second that a nurse in the Bible, biblically speaking, are mainly on feeling focus. I mean, just be honest. You think about that just for a second. It's in a secular world. That's why nurses in the burn units and the NIC units and things up in Birmingham can't stay any longer than 3 years. They get attached to people. Right? I mean, you get attached to people and you love them and you start hurting for them and you see them hurting and you start hurting and you cry for them and you weep over them and they're not even part of your family. They're just people that you'll never see again once they leave those doors. Lord willing, amen. And you think about that, how you ought to be attached to people. How people, when they come in here, they should affect you. And you ought to be careful how you administer medication to people, trying to encourage them. Amen. Brother said a while ago that he needs encouraging. Amen. Talking about the fellow that had the skin cancer needs encouraging. Praise the Lord, I'm for that. But we have to be careful how we encourage folks. Not necessarily it's going to get better. Look at the bright side. Use worldly snippets of things to try to encourage somebody. Because maybe it's a Bible, a verse they need to hear. Because the Lord can do something and stir them up. I'm just using it as an example because you made a great application. Everybody needs encouraging, amen? And you think about the things that you have to deal with in life out there, and then people and all their attitudes and all their ways of carrying themselves, and you're trying to have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're trying to have that long, trying to think of that long home of going home and trying to be encouraged and trying to be a light in a dying world, and it gets difficult sometimes. And sometimes we let our emotions rule us instead, and then we start telling what your opinions and how we think things should be, because everybody's got opinions, amen? And we forget what the Bible says, and we forget to apply biblical principles. Also, it means hands-on, personal care, not standoffish when it's talking about having administered medications. You have to get close to people to administer medication, amen? You can't shoot them from a dart from afar off. That's hard because some people are very standoffish and don't want people to be let in, because that way you can get hurt. Amen? That's tough. I got where I'm at. The second thing, a nurse's duties of a nurse is a managing intravenous lines. Amen. That's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. Putting IVs in, that's always encouraging. And always, I kind of like, think it's neat. And I like to watch it, you know, and give blood, and they go in there, and I'm like, that's pretty cool. My wife, on the other hand, she doesn't like that at all, which is whatever. It's okay. Everybody's different. I don't make fun of her or belittle her. That's just who she is. I think it's very interesting. and just watch it. I'm weird. I got it. It's okay. But you think about that same thing. That nurse, you know how close a person is? A cup from here to here, you can just dump in somebody's hands. But you know what you have to do? You have to grab a hold of somebody. And you have to get real close and you have to touch them to put an IV in. Amen? I get that you're prepared and you got gloves and sanitation and everything. And then, but you can get close enough to a person when you put an IV in, you know all about them. The pains and the sufferings, even the joys. It doesn't always have to be negative, amen? And the joys and the positive things, the victories that somebody's been through, the closeness of it. But you know also, you have to know where to administer it at. I always thought IVs went in the elbow, you know, right there in the crease of your arm. I always thought that all my life growing up. And now I see them doing it in the hands and then on the sides over here and just all kind of different places. I would just stick somebody in the elbow all the time, right there in the crease. Just jab them right there. Stab them real hard. Eventually, you'll draw blood. You stab them hard enough, amen? That's my mentality. Thank God I'm not a nurse, amen, Brother Gene? Amen. At least he's not my patient. And you think about that. You got to know what you're doing. You know what the problem with most Christians is they don't know what they're doing spiritually. I'm just being honest, amen? Could you lead somebody to the Lord? Could you tell somebody? Could you give them some verses on eternal security? Could you show them some verses in the Bible that have to do with comfort and compassion? Could you take them somewhere and show them a verse to help them in a way? I hope so. I mean, honest to God, I hope so. I mean, when we come to Sunday school, when we come to Wednesday night, when we come to hear preaching, it's not necessarily for you, it's to equip you, amen? I heard some preacher say the Bible is the basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen. Every school you go to has a textbook, does it not? And as far as I know, they require you to read that joker. Christianity is the one thing that we have is spiritual medicine, but nobody hardly ever reads the textbook anymore. Amen. Amen. The number three thing of duties of a nurse is observing and monitoring their conditions. It's listening to somebody. You know, when you observe somebody, it's not when you're talking. You know, when they're listening to your heartbeat, they don't talk. When they're listening to when they're checking their blood pressure and they do it in the old school way with the stethoscope and everything, they're not talking. They're just listening real close. You stay with me on this, okay? When people are talking, when they're there and you're listening to what they're saying, a lot can be heard by listening. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you can see what's going on in somebody's heart if you're not too busy to open up your own mouth. If you're just listening to somebody, you can listen real close to a heart. And by you listening to somebody's talk, that's tough. That's tough because we have all the answers, amen? Job had three really good friends until they opened up their mouths. Amen. They just sat there and listened to him breathing and weeping and scraping his sores. I'm assuming they were weeping with him. I would assume so. That's a good friend. He called them friends. And they were spot on friend until they opened up their mouth and started spewing out some misguided truth. Amen. So the duties of a nurse, you have to be careful and you just observe patients. You can observe people. How about their actions and their mannerisms? When people are in pain, they act differently. Amen? I mean, honest to God, that's supposed to be expected. When they're going through something, you're not going to act the same way that when you have a migraine, you don't act the same way as when you don't have a migraine. When your back hurts real bad, you don't act the same way as when your back doesn't hurt. Amen? When you got a broke leg, you don't walk the same as you do when you don't have a broke leg. You with me on that? So be careful that a person doesn't become real judgmental because somebody's acting differently and you just don't like the way they're acting. You be a nurse. Maybe you can listen to them and you'll figure out what's wrong and you can help them. Amen. Amen. The number four thing is maintaining records. Maintaining records. You say, what's the deal about maintaining records? Well, in trials and tribulations and in hard times and hardships, people forget things. You forget all kind of things. Over in 2 Peter, don't turn there, you can write it down if you want to. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, verse 13, and verse 15, Peter there three times is telling them to bring some things to their remembrance. Remember some things. And if you back up before verse 12, they're enduring some things. Their faith is being tried. They're going through hardships and trials and tribulations, and they're having to experience some things. And Peter's telling them, say, listen, I know you're going through some things. I don't have all the answers, but all the things you're going through, remember some things. Help them remember the time the Lord didn't ever let them down. Help them remember the time the Lord got them through whatever that is you got through. Help them bring to remembrance that the grace of God is sufficient, that you can do all things through Christ. Help them remember some things, because it's easy to forget when you're hurting real bad. Amen. It's real somber, and I know I got it, because it's not like a shout or outer kind of thing. Amen. It really is. It pricks the heart. And that's what I'm for. I'm for pricking the heart to test you. When you come in here and when you leave, you ought not to be the same. You ought to be more encouraged. You ought to have a self-evaluation. Something ought to have shaken you up a little bit. Man, we in Sunday school too. Amen. Amen. Maintaining records. You ought to be able to help somebody to remember some things. Communicating with the doctor, number 5. I like that one. Galatians 6:2 says, making prayer and supplications for saints. Romans 15:1, bear ye one another's burdens. I got that mixed up. Galatians 6:2 is bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Romans 15:1, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. When you see somebody going through something, the doctor you ought to get a hold of is not Dr. Smellfungus on Facebook, amen. It's the real physician. It's the great physician. It's the one that can heal the lame and heal the blind and rise and raise the dead. It's the one that really can make a difference and minister to a heart that you can maybe never touch. It's getting a hold of him. You know, that's what prayer is. Getting a hold of God and asking him to do something special for somebody. Maybe you, maybe somebody else. I mean, when's the last time you really got a hold of the Lord? I'm not asking you when's the last time you prayed. But sometimes prayer is just words. It's not really praying. I mean, when's the last time that you prayerfully got a hold of the Lord through tears and supplications on somebody else's behalf? Ask them to just touch them because they needed it. There's a lot of people that needs him. A lot of folks. It goes on to say the number 6 one is noticing irregularities and problems. Seeing an issue in others will require you to get your eyes off yourself. I got that in the notes right there. You'll have to be able to get your eyes off you to look on somebody else, to see somebody's, I didn't say their faults. It's easy to pick lint off somebody, amen? I mean, you don't have to hang around me about 20 minutes. You got enough ammunition for a lifetime, amen? I'm not talking about picking somebody apart. I'm talking about seeing their irregularities and saying something's wrong with them. And give them a phone call. Pull them aside in the back of the church. Say, I don't know what's going on with you, and I don't need to know. But I sure would like to pray for you. You ever done that? Has anybody ever done that for you? I don't know. They've done that to me, and it meant the world. You got communicating with the doctor. You have noticing irregularities and problems. Number 7 is you have teaching. That's the duty of a nurse, is teaching. Now, you could spend all day talking about what you could teach in the Bible. You could teach the Bible according to 2 Timothy 2:15. You can teach how to live blamelessly according to 2 Peter 3:14. I mean, you can teach how to be a good wife. You can teach how to be a good husband. You can teach all those things with the right attitude and with the right love and the right compassion, and it would be meant to do right. Usually, though, unsolicited advice is rarely heeded. Do you agree with that? But you know what is always heeded? somebody watching you live right is always heated. Always heated. Somebody watching you go through something and you teaching them because you're doing it. You're living right. You're speaking right. You're walking right. I didn't say you had perfect. Amen. I mean, if we're looking for a perfect church, we might as well just close the doors and wait till pastor gets back. That's a joke. I mean, we should none of us be here, amen, if we're looking for a perfect place with perfect people. Nonetheless, we can teach people something by just being a living example. You know what I'm encouraged about? That I can come here and you're still here. Amen. Now, I don't know all what the church has been through, but it's been through enough, amen. But you're here. I mean, you're here on a Sunday morning when you could be doing anything else. You could be sleeping in. Nobody's tired, are they? Amen. Gene's old. He ought to be real tired. Well, you think about that thing. There's times in my life where I didn't want to be in church. And now I love being in church. I love being around God's people who love God. You say, what is that? Well, people teach me stuff, but I can just watch them. That's how I learn real good by that. I can watch somebody do it, and then I can normally do what they do, you know, physically in life. And you know how I learned how to weld, brother? I had a dream about it. Amen, yeah. And I paid attention to that dream. Now, the fellow was real weird. And I got out there. Yeah, amen. And went out there. It wasn't Brother Scott, yeah. I didn't even know him back then. I went to work the next day because I was struggling at work. Went the next day, I saw it, and I pictured it, and it just welled, and I was like, well, look at that. I should have done that all along. You say, how'd you get that? I don't know. I'm sure I watched somebody through the years do it right, and finally it just clicked in my mind, and I nailed it. Just watched somebody long enough, and I got it. Amen. Are you able to do something long enough that somebody can watch you long enough to get it? Amen. Building trust with patience is the next one. Building trust with patience. Building trust with patience. You know how you build trust with people? By the previous seven things. People really don't care how much you know until they know you care. You can have all the biblical knowledge in the world and have all the supposed right answers, but normally people don't care unless they know you really do care. That's what a nurse is supposed to do. She's supposed to really care. And I say she because normally we view it as an effeminate thing. Amen? But I praise the Lord for men that do it. I'm not saying anything against them. But normally, in my mind, it's an effeminate position. All these things that I mentioned are kind of an effeminate, they have a real tenderness to them. And I have a real, I have a real hard time being tender. I have a real easy time being rough. Amen. You just ask my wife and my son. That comes natural. It's not natural for me to be real tender, real gentle, real easy with my hands and my words. That takes work. But that's being a nurse. Amen. Here at Building Trust, and then the next one, number 9, is consistently and carefully adhering to protocols. There's rules and regulations that a nurse has to abide by. It's not feelings. It's not emotions. It's not opinions. It's that rules and regulations that you have to adhere to protect yourself and protect others. I remember I was laying in hospital in Prattville. Leg was had a broke femur. And so when they put me on the backboard, literally they used a ratchet strap. You know, your ankle is supposed to be like that in normal people. It felt like it was real straight, and they ratchet strapped it down. It hurt more than my broke leg hurt. I remember I'm laying there in the ER, my dad comes up, because I've done asked that guy to release it just one notch. He's like, I can't do it, and he was real stern about it, can't do it, and he walked out. It's like, that guy? It's not exactly what I was thinking. I wasn't saved then. And my dad came in, and he's standing there, and I said, Daddy, if you could just loosen that strap one notch, I could handle it. Just one notch. And he reached down, and he's been in the medical field all my life. And he reached down, and he said, nope, I can't do it. I was like, oh my goodness, man. Just a little bit of relief. He said, just take something for the pain. Don't be a hero. I was like, I don't want to be a hero. I want some relief. And you say, what is that? He was adhering to the same codes and standards that that nurse was adhering to by not giving me what I needed. Excuse me, by giving me not giving me what I wanted, but giving me what I needed. You say, what happened? Well, they put me in surgery and took that stupid thing off finally, thank God. But I needed surgery. I didn't need one notch taken off of the ratchet strap. Amen? So be careful. Be careful. We got a few more things to show you. Be careful when you how you're dealing with people as a nurse that you don't allow your emotions to dictate how you act and what you say because you love them. I wish we could go for another hour just on this subject. I got just so much. If you were to go and run all the references on in nurse in the Bible, there's not many. About seven, I think, eight. There's not many. You think about that for a second. The Lord doesn't ever waste words, amen? I mean, some words, you have 300, thousands of them. But nurse, you only it's just a handful. Matter of fact, in the first account, we won't turn there for sake of time. In the first account's in Genesis 24, 59. And it's Isaac's getting his wife, and it's Rebekah. And the people that come with Rebekah, her nurse comes with Rebekah. There's nothing said about where the nurse came from or how long she had been Rebekah's nurse. But Rebekah loved her, and apparently she was important to Rebekah. Here's something to stay with me for a second. In Genesis 38, it says that Rebekah's nurse died. It doesn't record any other nurse in the Bible passing away. There's a sermon in there somewhere. I just hadn't found it. Lord hadn't showed it to me. That woman or that person was real special to Rebekah, enough so that it was written down for eternity to know about. And you think about it, and it even gives her name later. Her name was Deborah. There's only two people mentioned in the whole Bible named Deborah. And she was one of a nurse that nobody knows anything about. But she was special to Rebekah. Who are you special to? As a nurse, who are you special to? Real tender, real gentle with your words and your actions and your and how you deal with them. You ought to be special to somebody. Amen? Somebody ought to just be wanting to hear what you have to say out of the Bible. Whether it's your spouse or a friend or a coworker, if they have some issue, they come to you and they ask you. And they ask you because you're important. Amen? And you say, well, I don't have anybody. Well, maybe you're not putting yourself out there enough. Maybe you're not getting close enough to people just to allow them the opportunity to just hear you for a little while. That's hard too. We'll go on. It says in Exodus chapter 2, 7 and 9, everybody knows the account. You have Moses, and he was a little baby, and his mom became his nurse. And all that compassion she had and the love, and it, she got to be used as a label and as a nurse in his upbringing and taking care of him. That's pretty special. In Ruth, the pastor was covering that. Ruth, there's a nurse mentioned. But I want you to look at something. I tell you, we don't turn there. You just had to take my word for it for a minute. Most of you know the account in 2 Samuel chapter 4. You have the account of Mephibosheth. I started off with it. Mephibosheth had a nurse. Amen. It says that she took him up and in haste to fled. She dropped him and he fell, basically. I'm paraphrasing. It wasn't her job to flee with him as a nurse. I don't know of any nurses in any hospital that'll take a person out of the hospital and try to protect them. They're not supposed to leave where they're at, are they? I mean, I can show you other verses in the Bible where a nurse hit them in the palace they were at. They didn't try to run out of the city. They didn't try to leave. They didn't try to flee. Where's the trust in God aspect? Amen? Where's the great God, Jehovah of the Old Testament, that can take care of something, that can just wipe out an entire army if he wants to? It's that emotional attach to they're going to protect somebody no matter what it takes. And in doing so, you know what she did to that young man? She hurt him for life. You don't think the Lord could have took care of him? I feel pretty confident could have took care of Moses in a river floating down full of alligators. Never was harmed, not one hair. Just so happened by coincidence, rested at the right spot at the right time. Amen. But this nurse, due to her emotional attachment, thought that she knew best. I'm not slamming her, I'm just giving you an account. She thought she knew best and was going to take that young boy up, and she was going to flee. She was going to protect him. You better be careful of how you talk to people thinking you're going to protect them when it's contrary to what the Bible says. Because all you're going to do is scar them for life. Or you might be like Malchus out there with Peter, and a miracle would have to happen and take place for them to get right and their ear to be re-put on. Just be careful. It's easy to get emotionally attached to people. Amen? Just be careful that you don't let those emotions dictate something. If you're still in 1 Thessalonians 2, I want to show you why. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we left off in verse 8. The qualifications of a nurse. But go on and read in verse 9. But ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses in God also how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. You see, there's always a balance with the Lord. You have to be a nurse and a father. It's not all feeling with a nurse. You have to have the charging, and you have to have the chastisement and the hardness, if you will, of a father. It's not all the things of a nurse. But normally, being hard comes easy for people. And it's not easy to have the nurse qualifications. So as we close, how you doing? How you doing on being a nurse to somebody? There's all kind of duties and all kind of things a nurse is supposed to do, biblically speaking as well as practically and physically speaking. There's a lot said. There's a lot in that. Just be careful that you're not overly attached to someone with your emotions, that you hurt somebody just because you love them. You got to have a right balance. It's not all the loving, tender care of a nurse. It's a little bit of tough love of a father. Amen. Amen. Brother Gene, you pray, please.